With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Podcast Goals, the podcast that's not about teaching you how to podcast.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Sophie.
And every week we're going to be talking about ridiculous millennial things we've come across, like Tinder.
Tinder.
Let's say again, that was great, okay?
Tinder.
Gap years.
Instagram.
Hashtag squad goals.
Selfies.
And lots of ridiculous things like that that we come across in everyday life, and all the stories that we have to share with your lovely selves.
And a lot of them are very ridiculous.
I mean, all of them are. So, if you fancy listening to any of that,
Come back
and keep listening. That doesn't make any sense. Hi.
Hello.
Hi. I am very excited.
I'm excited. I'm more excited.
We have a wonderful person in the room with us today.
Oh, thanks. Oh, spoiler.
Alex Fox. Hello.
Hello. Hello. I'm glad you're both excited.
Yes, we're very excited.
People do tend to talk to me a lot about how excited they are or how excited they're failing to be and how they wish they could be more excited I can do to help excite them.
What do you generally do? What's your answer to that?
Well, it really depends on their specific predilections.
Oh. Yeah.
There is no one universal thing that will tickle everybody's sexual pickle.
Oh, I love a sexual pickle.
Oh, I like pickle.
My flatmate actually drinks pickle juice.
Really?
He often gets back home a little bit pissed at night, and I'll just watch him open the fridge and drink from a jar of gherkins. So I spend all day talking about jerking gherkins, then get home, watch him doing all sorts with them.
Yeah. Great. Jerking gherkins. Jerking gherkins sounds kind of like a 90s boy band, jerking gherkins.
Or a dance move.
Or a dance move.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking about how the name Foreplay. The word foreplay sounds like a 90s band.
Oh.
Who would use the term like, they would sing lyrics about how they're going to sex girls.
I'm going to sex you, lady.
Even though sexing, that is a thing that vets do when they hold guinea pigs in the air and look at their genitals to decide whether they're a female or a male, right?
So it's very specific that you know that. How did you come across that piece of information?
Well, I think a lot about terminology for making love. There's another one. Making love sounds quite arts and crafts, doesn't it? You might get a paper cut.
Well, I'm learning so much. I'm just staring at you. Amy, you're carrying us.
Sorry,
carrying this
Sophie's
episode.
Sophie's transfixed. I can't...
I'm learning a lot already.
Well, it's good that we're talking about these things, because this week we're talking about sex goals.
Ooh.
Sex goals.
Sex goals. Sex goals.
I personally think you should probably not have any sex goals. Like, I'm always telling people they should make sex less goal-oriented and that it shouldn't be a thing where you set out with something in your mind that you wish to achieve.
Bucket list.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Bucket list. But it's funny you talk about kind of making things like sex kind of goal-oriented, because it's something you've talked about. So for listeners who don't know, lovely Alex Fox is on The Modern Man as well. She has The Foxhole.
Yeah, The Modern Man is a podcast named after Ollie Mann, who's the main presenter. So it's not all is not just for men, which is a
hair dye.
And I was going to say, that's for dyeing beards and pubes.
Not a sponsored post.
Yeah, it's not just for men. It's not only for men. It's a magazine-style podcast where it has like a little bit about trends at the front and then a big interview in the middle. And then I'm essentially the smutty back pages where people write into me with their problems, their sexual conundrums, and I try and help solve them.
It's great, though. And it isn't smutty. It is great, and it's informative, and it's educational, and I really enjoy listening.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. So keep it up.
Sexual Conundrum sounds like a really sexy version of Countdown. But no, it's funny you talk about kind of the goals sort of side, because this is something you've talked about on Modern Man, is the icon.
Oh, God. Oh, that ball sackery zackery. That is such a load of shite, that thing. Have you looked into the icon?
Oh, yes.
Okay, wait
we need to explain. But So the icon, as far as I can understand it, the only way I can explain it is it's kind of like a Fitbit for your dick, or like a dick fit or a fit dick, depending on which way you want to look at it. It kind of, you put it on the base, like the shaft of the dick, and then as you have sex, it measures, right, the amount of thrust that you have?
Yeah, it's called icon because they wanted to make a pun about condoms, even though it's not a condom in any way, shape or form. So that's the first thing that makes me quite angry about
it.
It will not provide you any protection against STIs or terrible invasions of parasites to your squelchy bits.
No.
It's not helpful in that capacity in any way, and it's not a contraceptive. But yeah, it's essentially just a ring for your dong. It's a wrong ring for
your
ding
dong. Does it do anything? Like, does it give pleasure, or does it literally just count?
It just gathers statistics.
Yeah.
For example, about how many thrusts you've made during sex, how fast you were going, and also inexplicably, every time you put it on as a guy, it will tell you the circumference of your dick.
Which, every time.
Yeah, I'm presuming that doesn't change too much.
I was about to say, yeah.
But
nice. And also, I think it tells you your temperature as well. Taking the temperature of my schlong, particularly hot today, ladies.
If I went out with a guy who, like, at the end of sex was like, right, let me just check my statistics. Why does he care how fast it was? Why does he care how wide he is?
Well, the temperature thing's kind of a thing for me. If he's like, oh, it's very cold. Oh, my God.
Speaking of which, the aircon just kicked in.
I think we bought one of the dick rings with us. Is it hiding in the cupboard?
It's listening.
It's
angry.
Knows.
That's the sound of an angry dick ring.
Oh, God, I never want to hear that again. It will haunt me for my days. But no, if you're thinking, like, it's a bit cold today, like when you go to the doctors and they're like, oh, let me just warm up my hands, you're not going to be like, oh, it's a bit chilly, sorry, let me just warm up my dick and then we'll go again.
But have you seen this thing on the market that is essentially, you know those hand soap dispensers, automatic ones where you stick your palm underneath and it splurts a little bit of hand gel or hand wash on?
I'm excited to see where this is going, Alex.
Someone has made an automatic splurter that warms up your lube and then deposits a dollop of it in your hand, ready warm.
Wow!
But you can only put in sachets of lube that you buy from that company. I can't remember what they're called. I mean, I think it's kind of a fun gadget, but it just really seems surplus to my Slurpee requirements, to be honest.
Slurpee.
Oh,
the last time we saw you was at the British Podcast Awards. And
I'm
we
really
came away
wondering where,
okay,
where this story is going.
We've not explained, I think, to people what happened last time we saw you.
I should explain, first of all, I wasn't slurping anyone at the British Podcast Awards.
No. Slurpee is like a slush puppy, so we're cool there. Don't worry, it's still PG. Yeah, no, we left the British Podcast Awards in one of the most comical states, I would say, thanks to you.
And I think the best states I've ever left an event.
The best.
Down.
Which is your favourite state? Liquid, gas or solid? I started off that evening feeling pretty solid, but I left utterly liquid. I'd had a lot of Prosecco.
Yes.
We went to that event with little bags, little clutch bags that had no room for anything apart from like a thin debit card. And Amy insisted, be like, wait, Alex is going to get us some things. Alex is going to get some things. So I'm like, all right, cool, no worries. Just hanging around. And then she returns with armfuls of lube. And the reason I said Slurpee was because the bath lube, is that
Slube. Slube is amazing stuff.
Oh, it's not the same word.
Have you tried it yet?
No, but 80% of my life is spent in the bath. So maybe I will soon. But we went home and...
No, we didn't just go home. You need to tell people where we went with armfuls. Okay, so we had the Slube. We had quite a few wonderful Durex vibrating contraptions. We had body butter, which we tried on toast. Is very nice, actually.
The kind of Nutella-esque chocolate spread. Yeah,
it's very nice. And so as you said, we kind of left the event quite liquid. Sophie made a stop at McDonald's on the way home, obviously with clutch bags, which are too small to fit anything. So we wandered into McDonald's with armfuls of lube and vibrating cock rings and saw the bouncer on the door, and he was like, evening, ladies.
Come here for a really happy meal.
Oh.
Yeah.
Filet-o-fish.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of like the dream, to be honest.
I think it was.
Mackie
D's. Thank you.
Fappy D's.
Fappy D's.
Yeah, Fappy D's.
Oh, God, is Fappy D's what you want?
I'm quite easy to please.
Yeah, it
Fappy
was...
Fappy D's and Burger King. There's a hot weekend.
There you go.
Throwing these puns out. It's so good. Keep coming.
Steady on.
I don't even know if it's good. It's like pun Tourette's at this point in my 34-year-old life.
What I'm really interested in is, talking of your puns kind of throughout your life, how did you get into talking about kind of sex and sort of the things that you do? Like, how did that come about?
Kind of by accident, which is a worrying thing to say about sex, isn't it? I used to help edit a magazine called Bizarre, which sadly it is no longer. It's folded. It's gone the way of many, many print magazines, unfortunately, now. But Bizarre was a magazine that dealt with the extreme ends of alternative culture. We wrote about everything from people who were bifurcating their own tongues and piercing holes in their scrotums. I tried underwater bondage. It was my job to report on the weirdest, wildest stuff out there.
Why is this magazine no longer?
But I found myself, whilst I was working there, writing more and more and investigating more and more into people's unusual kinks, because I just found it fascinating. Everybody is affected by sex, whether you're having it, whether you're not. It's how we all got here.
You know, fair,
no matter
yeah.
what your tastes, no matter what your opinions, it's relevant to everyone. Yeah. And I just found the outer realms of sexuality completely and utterly compelling. So I made quite a name for myself for investigating these things. And then 50 Shades happened, and as much as it's an atrocious book,
I've read it.
I feel sorry for
biggest fan.
I've read it.
But yeah, all of a sudden, journalists who could write about sex and who could write about BDSM and who had access to that world and trust within that community and who had knowledge about that world that they could communicate to other people were in demand, including from big mainstream brands. I started writing an Agony Aunt column for Men's Fitness magazine, of all improbable things.
They'll be loving that new device, the Fitbit for the cock.
I'm not sure they would. But yeah, I started doing an Agony Aunt column for them because I decided they wanted someone who could spice things up a bit. And it got spotted by Jorex, who then hired me to help launch a new range of toys. And I got thrust, literally, into the world of sex. And at some point I thought, well, everybody's asking me about these things, so I should probably go off and educate myself. So I got some training with Brooke, the sexual advisory charity, who I'm now an ambassador for. I've tried to do everything I can to make sure that I'm responsible in the advice I give, because I'm really aware that I'm not a doctor. So if there's something I don't know, I will consult a doctor. I have a worrying amount of gynecologists on speed dial. Seriously, if you went through my phone, you'd think that my flump had the A to Z of all STIs with the amount of sexual health services that are stored. Always an eyebrow-raising day with me.
Yeah, it's so important that, like, it's really good that you kind of talk about the education and things, because almost like in today's modern day with like dating apps and like sexting, it's not really talked about enough, like knowing the facts about stuff. So yeah, it's
and I think people are still, even though we live in a really modern world, people are still can be quite prudish and don't want to talk about things. So things like the Modern Man podcast is great because people will be listening and going, oh, thank God somebody's answering that question finally. I find it fascinating, your job. The first thing I thought was, how on earth do you get into knowing loads about sex? Do you just have all of the sex?
Unfortunately, I'm having none of the sex right now. Being a sex expert has had a terrible effect on my love life.
Really?
Yeah. I tend to find that one of three things happens when I try and go on a date. The minute someone discovers I'm a sex expert, they either think it's the most exciting thing that they've ever heard in their lives and that definitely I'll go to bed with them in 5.4 nanoseconds and by my psychic powers I will know all of their tastes and their titillations. I'll be able to hit all of their hot spots straight away, which rarely happens in a first sexual encounter.
It's like a sex bop it. You just have to sort of hit the right things and then they go.
Well, they assume that I am going to bop it with them straight away, which is obviously isn't always the case.
Yeah.
Then the second thing that happens is the flip side, and this happens a lot. People just find my job terrifying. And when it comes to dating, I think I'm considered very intimidating because guys assume that I'm going to publish and broadcast all the finer details of whether their bits are indeed fine or considerably thicker. But then the third thing that often happens that it's been a real surprise to me, this one, I did not see this coming, was that I'll get two or three dates deep and I'll be thinking it's going quite well. And then they will ask the big question.
Oh my God,
and
which one?
The number of guys who have strung me along on dates because they actually would like some free counselling about their sexual problem, which often involves the phrase, so I'd really like to get together with my ex again and I was hoping that you could help me. A lot of
that
people go for drinks with me because they think that they can get free therapy.
Alex, that's crazy.
It's really upsetting, I'll be honest.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It's happened a few times.
Oh my God. Well, yeah, Night with Ex. Aren't you part of the Channel 5 One Night with My Ex?
Yeah, One Night with My Ex was a Channel 5 show that I was hired to consult on because they did some investigation into how social media has affected people when they have a breakup. And they discovered this phrase, demo, delete every moment online. And they found that a large percentage of people, when they'd had a breakup, were immediately going back through all the posts they'd written about how loved up they were and erasing them.
Oh, God.
They were completely obliterating all photographic evidence that the relationship had ever taken place. People were just, they were deleting absolutely every
like
scrap of
never
evidence
existed.
Like it never happened.
Oh my
Lord. When everybody's lives are so digitally documented now, I can understand why you might do that if you didn't want a daily reminder of what's just gone down the pan. But I wonder whether some people in future are going to actually regret that they've wiped
memory.
Everything.
Surely that's a really messy breakup, though. Like I understand, like, getting rid of them in terms of, like, hiding them from your timeline and not being able to see what they're up to. But it's nice to have pictures.
Mm. Well, depending on what the pictures are.
The breakup was.
I don't know.
Is it ethical to keep a dick pic after you're not dating the dick owner anymore? Or the vagina owner?
Oh, dick copyright. It's not something dick right.
Was there something could copyright. Cocky right.
Copy, yeah.
We got there. That was good. Well done.
That took a while. We got there. But it is funny, isn't it? Like, social media has, like, it's become such a thing. Like, we document everything online to the point of it's almost become a big thing to have the first picture with your boyfriend online. People are like, oh, they're
Facebook
in a relationship.
Official.
Facebook official. But then when do you become, like, sex official? Third date, fourth date. There's such a rule.
I find this quite a difficult one to weigh in on. Like lots of people, I think I want to find out fairly fast whether the diddling is going to do it for me and do it for them, or whether it's a big whack-whack oops in bedroom department. I wouldn't want to go too long without having some kind of clue about whether the SEX was VIP or... happen, you know, when you've had a relationship that
straight in there. It's like, yes, I have.
I don't think you should ever make that judgment call after only sleeping with or only having a sexual encounter with somebody once.
Once, yeah. 100%.
Because the first time is often it's a clanger a lot of the time, isn't it? You know, I mean, not all the time. Sometimes it's mesmerizing and magical, and you come together like a well-timed orgy. But other times, you know, it's a bit fumbling and jumbling and you're still working each other out and it's a bit awkward and maybe elbows and knees end up where they shouldn't be.
Ooh, that sounds like quite a good experience.
sounds like you give a twister.
Like you need a special tool to extricate yourself from them afterwards.
It's the kind of same as well, though, with if you go out with someone and you don't fancy them at the beginning, but you're like, oh, but they're so nice and I really want to fancy them. I believe that you can grow to fancy people as well. I don't know about the sex side, but you can grow to fancy them. I've been out with boys in the past who have been so bad at kissing.
Oh god.
But I've really fancied them.
Have you ever had one of those kisses that feels a little like you're making out with a budgerigar, where they just don't open their mouth very much and it's just really awkward? And
wish people could see what you're doing with your mouth right
just
now.
Just gently pries them open in a sensual manner, and it's really creepy. I also had a guy, I thought I was past the kissing with no tongue stage. But a while ago, someone did this—the French kissing with no tongue—and
really,
and it was so—I was so taken aback that I was almost like, "Oh God, maybe they don't have a tongue."
I found it weird that he hadn't spoken this whole time.
I was enjoying the silence, but now it was really weird.
Oh God, bizarre!
Did you just start? I've just got this bizarre
like a
image
mime
in my
artist.
Head. Did you like try to put your tongue in and like,
yeah?
Make it
and
happen?
I got no physical response at all.
It was, gates were locked down.
I felt like I was doing some alien probing, and they were just not. Receptive at all.
Do you think he sat with his mates going, yeah, she just kept like dipping her tongue in and out. It's so weird.
Like had a gobble of guacamole and she was some kind of lingual breadstick.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
food, that tends to be the things I think about daily.
What is your favourite food accompaniment for sex?
Ooh, a friend of mine is dating a guy who's really into using chilli sauce, which sounds like the worst
single thing.
Yeah. I do not want Nando's anywhere in my nipples, thanks very much. He's really into it.
Yeah, on the whole, I'm not into that because I just love eating and I love keeping those two things separately. Same with my baths. I'm probably not going to use this food because I love having baths.
Oh, you really should. You really, really should.
Oh, okay, maybe.
I feel like I should contextualise for anyone who doesn't know what sloob is.
Yeah.
It's a powder that you sprinkle into a tub full of warm water, into a bathtub full of water, and it turns it, transforms it into a vat of coloured, scented lube.
Oh, it's coloured?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it changes the colours.
Soap is like, great.
It changes the whole thing.
I can't remember what colour I gave you this one.
I think I've got pine green.
Pine green.
Emerald pine green. It's like an air freshener.
I was going to say, it's a bit magic tree. Yeah. I think it's more of aromatherapy than it is new car smell. You know, there's some boy racers out there who'd be like, oh yeah, get me in a vat of liquid magic tree. Their sex soundtrack would just be a Golf GTI revving repeatedly while they wanked off in their shower. Yeah. I'm trying to think more about my sex foods.
Do you know what mistake I always make? Sorry, not to do with food, but I just
said, do you know what steak I always make? That's a great sex food right there. Done.
I'm trying to think of funny puns, but I'm just thinking of steak and it's all I can think about. When you were speaking about being an ambassador for Durex, I always get Durex and Dulux mixed up, which is obviously a totally different thing. And that would kill the vibe if I'm like, oh yeah, get the Dulux.
Well, you whip out like a colour match kind of chart. Yeah. Like, ooh.
What colour do you like?
Maybe Dulux should release a range
body
of...
body paint.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that would work. Yeah. Or, you know, they have the tester cards with all the like sensual paint names on. Maybe they could amp it up a bit, like vibrating violet. Penises can be quite violently coloured sometimes.
Oh, I don't know if you've got a Dulux colour chart there. This is the top end of the colour chart. No, thank you.
I don't know. I'd rather have a raging one than one that was just peely, resolutely
and limp.
Yeah. Magnolia. Oh. Just a dull beige eggshell finish.
Oh, God.
Where do we go from there?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know how to come back from that.
Come back.
We've gone all the way from S&M literally to B&Q now. Yeah.
Being cute.
Or we can talk about DIY and move on to masturbation. Got a millennial fact about masturbation.
Yes, hang on, wasn't it Masturbation Month?
It was.
May.
Yeah, uh-huh. May is International Masturbation Month. Oh, which always reminds me of Austin Powers, like, International Man of Mystery.
Yeah, baby.
Just wanking off in every single country that he can.
I'm also going to preface this with Sophie's never seen Austin Powers.
No. Oh. I know. Please don't dislike me immediately. I am terrible at watching films.
Have you seen The Labyrinth?
Yes.
Yes,
okay,
I have
good,
seen
right.
The Labyrinth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I really wish there was a porn version called The Labyrinth.
Yeah. There's something called Edward Penis Hands.
Oh.
I'm going to leave that to your imaginations, but it is almost what it says on the tin. Yeah.
I am going to go and look that up. I mean, you should go for Bedwood scissor plans and make it a lesbian one.
That sounds, again, quite DIY, so it fits into the theme of what we're talking about.
And the bucket list would definitely be involved in that in some way on the site.
Yeah, the fucket list. Yeah. But no, Masturbation Month.
Yeah.
Talk to us.
Well, I have been working with a Japanese company called Tenga. Have you heard of them?
They do. Really cute little sex toys.
They do. Mostly masturbation stuff for guys, but you could, if you're, you use a lot of them in couples play as well. Over in Japan, Tenga are massive. They're so well known that they're stocked in kind of like the Tokyo equivalent of Liberties and Selfridges.
Wow,
you know,
really?
They're quite prestigious. Yeah. They've got their own energy drink.
That's already fantastic.
So you can get jumped up and pumped up before you whack off. And they've invested some cash in trying to make men's masturbation toys less stigmatised in the UK. And I do think there's a problem there. I think it's A-OK over here for a woman to own a rabbit or a bullet vibrator. Mm-hmm. You know, you wouldn't really think twice about it, especially younger women. Mm. It's par for the course, right?
Yeah, which is hilarious because men, you know, it's so open that men talk about porn and wanking and everything else, but then that side of things is completely... That's so funny when you think about
so
it.
Guy said,
I think for your average person, if a guy said, oh, I own a sex toy, they would imagine one of those vaginas in a fast that kind of looks like...
Oh, flesh.
Yeah, sort of look a bit Ed Gynae, don't they?
Gosh.
Ed gynecology. they look like a creepy bit of disembodied
thing
body.
In a tube.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Channel 4 documentary all over that.
But yeah, Tengas don't look like that. They're not they're not designed to look like anatomy. Yeah. So Tenga are trying to tell British people that it's all right for men to have some variety and spice to their wanking, not actual literal spice.
As well, so we've talked about that. Perry Perry does not go
don't
well.
Don't put Preaker on your prick. It's not a great... Yeah, Tenga are trying to normalise men's use of sex toys for pleasure, for variety. They've done this survey about British attitudes to masturbation, and they found that about, I think it's about 83% of people admit to masturbating, even when they're in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And around, I can't remember the exact stats, I think it's about 78% of people said they'd think it was fine if their partner masturbated as well, like they wouldn't be worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
But only 20% of people overall think that it's acceptable to actually discuss this. So everyone's doing the masturbation and no one's having the fucking conversation apart from millennials.
I was like, where do we come in here?
I know, it's like millennial facts.
Yeah, when you break it down according to age, if you look at your baby boomers and your Gen Xers, only like tiddly-widdly percentages of them. Look at the millennials and 18% of them are like, yeah, talk about wanking all the time.
so nearly
a fifth. There's still a long way to go, but younger people are getting better at speaking more openly about opening themselves.
Yeah.
Good.
I think your friend needs checked out. Speaking of getting checked out.
Tell us.
I went for an STI test a couple of years ago when I was travelling in Australia. And I'd been backpacking around. I'd moved down to Sydney to stay for like 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd met loads of boys when I was travelling and just got on really well with these guys. But like mates, we became really good friends. And I ended up travelling with an Irish boy and a Glaswegian boy. Very, very Glasgow.
Sounds like the beginning of Glasgow. I was just about to say that,
Probably
Irish
it's going to end.
Asian boy walk into an STI clinic.
Yeah, it kind of ends like a bit of a joke too. No, and there was about four of them and then me. Because we were settling down, the boys were like, let's go get an STI test. And I was kind of like, I've been quite careful. I don't think I need to worry about this, but I'll get one. And we went in and I went up to the counter all like, da-di-da-di-da. Hello, yes, we'd love to have an STI test, please. And they were like, I don't know what they said, you know, do you want the full works? Do you want HIV? Do you want the lot? And
do you
I was
want
like,
the MOT?
All of it. I'd like the lot, please.
The full works makes it sound like you're at a car wash.
Yeah.
Do you want it waxed?
Yeah, I want a revamp. Just give me the new vagina, please. And she filled in the forms or whatever. Take a seat, and then all of the boys went up and just went, "Yeah, we've got something. We've caught something." Every one of them, because they were like, "Oh, we can't be bothered waiting for results and everything else. So we'll just say we've got something, and then we'll get something." So I walk in, followed by like four boys. Clearly, they would have thought that I was like down bicycle, slutty McWhore. All these boys, we've definitely got something.
I have to applaud them for at least going, okay, we've been shagging around, let's all go and get screened.
I haven't even been shagging around. That was a thing. I was clean as a whistle. Is that the same?
I think you probably can be clean as a whistle. Whistles are quite clean.
Can whistle through your vagina, so
yes.
But I think you can do that with dirty ones as well.
Great.
Dirty is the wrong word. Yeah. I think people need to talk more about what actually happens when you go for an STI test, because I think the terror of the unknown puts a lot of people off. I often speak to young people where they're worried about what the actual tests will involve, and they think that they're going to be a lot more painful and a lot more invasive than they actually are in modern times. But they're also really worried that the STI clinicians are going to tell their parents or going to tell their doctor. You don't even have to give your real name if you don't want to at an STI clinic. You could use one of your orgasm
Dave.
Orgasm Dave!
My name is Sally Orgasm.
I'd like a test, please. I'm riddled.
But like, you're so true. People don't talk about it. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day about this. She's, you know, same age as us, mid-20s. She's been sexually active for like mid-teens. I didn't know. I didn't want to say she's been sleeping around since she was 18. And she's never been to an STI clinic. And she'd slept with, and I was sort of like, you know, you should go and check. She was like, oh, you know, I've not caught anything. But again,
you don't know.
Is something people don't talk about. Like, it's just, it should be okay to be like, I'm going to an STI clinic.
You're going to hit me with another stat. I'm going to slap you with another stat.
Go on.
70% of women who have chlamydia experience zero symptoms.
Yeah. Can you get, like, home kits and everything?
Yeah, you can. Superdrug do them, actually. You can order them online from Superdrug. They will even, in areas of London, courier them to you. And they courier the morning after pill.
Like a
sexaroo. Deliveroo, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
I love it.
There are certain areas, again, of London, SH24, called Sexual Health 24, in certain boroughs, you can order chlamydia and syphilis testing kits and gonorrhea testing kits, do them at home for free, and then if anything comes up, then they'll send you your medicine for free.
Super easy, right?
So easy.
Heterosexual young people can get HIV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So many young folks who I speak to think, very sadly, that HIV is something that Freddie Mercury had and people in Africa in the 1980s, and that they can't possibly get it because they're millennial, and that they have this kind of invincibility idea. They can just go and get an antibiotic and that will cure everything. It's a shame, because part of my work as a sex educator has been telling people, hey, if you've had unprotected sex, don't panic. Go and get tests, and they're easier than ever before. Mm-hmm. And our treatments are better than ever before. And that is true. And I don't want to put anybody off thinking that. But also, it is much better to protect yourself in the first place.
100%.
Not, I don't want to scare anyone, but not everything can be cured. Mm-hmm. And terrifyingly, more and more STIs are becoming antibiotic resistant as well.
Oh my God.
In fact, I'm from Macclesfield, and we had one of 13 cases last year of super gonorrhea.
Oh God, that sounds a lot funner than it should.
The worst of all the superheroes. Yeah,
oh
exactly.
God, shit superpowers.
If you've worn a cape in the first place, you probably wouldn't get it.
On that note, where can I go and get an STI test?
What is the note? Is the note...
Yeah, we've gone very off on to various different tangents. But I think what might be a nice thing to finish bringing it back round
let's keep things chirpy,
is we were kind of having a listen to a couple of episodes of a fantastic audio podcast bites that you do for The Guardian called Close Encounters.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I'm really proud of that project.
Yeah. It's so refreshing to hear people talking in an open and honest way, and it's so important because there's no space for people to be able to go and just express things and ask questions and be open.
I think that's my favourite project that I've ever done. So it's, as you know, it's a series of interviews with people about their sex lives and their love lives, but there's something noteworthy about all the people I spoke to. And all those interviews, pretty much all of them, were conducted in those people's bedrooms as well. So we're talking to them where the action happened. So
on the front lines.
So the first one was an interview with a girl who suffers from a condition called vaginismus, which is not a very well understood thing, actually. It's kind of, it's part psychological and part medical muscular issue. Basically what happens is your vagina clamps up so tightly that penetrating it with anything, from a tampon to a finger to a penis, is painful to the point of impossibility. And so she was talking about how she'd, why she thought she had this and what she'd done to begin to overcome it. Then there was a tale of a woman born with two vaginas.
What?
Hazel Nelson.
Have you not heard that one? No.
Yeah. I did a TED talk earlier this year, and I spoke about her in that, actually, and it was wonderful seeing rivers of people's jaws just
I think
drop
that's how we
her.
Just learned.
Hazel, who? Well, everyone should listen to your Guardian podcast.
Oh, thank you.
We'll link to it on our Twitter as well, so if people can't, for some reason, find it on the online web, you can just go along to our Twitter and click link and find it on there and listen to some episodes. Yeah.
Clicking your mouse is one of my favourite euphemisms for masturbation.
Oh!
I like ménage à moi as well.
Oh, that's a sexy word in itself, isn't it? Ménage à moi.
You could have a book, like a dictionary, for all of these wonderful things.
Urban Dictionary.
Urban Dictionary.
I would love to work for Urban Dictionary.
How do you think people get hired at Urban Dictionary?
Maybe having vast knowledge of slang terms for really disgraceful, deviant sexual acts.
In a basement somewhere, like a sex dungeon.
With a disembodied vagina and a pot in a corner.
Very normal.
Oh, God. Well, I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of fun and eye-opening chats with you guys.
Yeah, I've learned a lot. You're wonderful.
Oh, thanks very much.
You're great.
I'm glad that I've opened parts of you. Oh, I could hear a kind of gusty sound.
Whistling.
Yeah.
Me. Horn of Gondor.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, no, thank you so much. Again, people should check out Guardian Close Encounters, but also The Modern Man and you on The Foxhole as well.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome back anytime. Fancy chatting sex with us?
Yeah.
Come on back.
Absolutely. I actually think it's a really... I think people often criticise joking about sex because they think that people are then not taking it seriously. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a really good entry point if you can have a giggle about things.
Yes.
I feel like this this whole episode could have been a really great drinking game. You could have had so many puns.
It still can be.
Another one. Yeah. We would be smashed.
Christ knows what people would be drinking, though.
Oh, God. That's another question for another time, yeah. That's a video part, yeah.
Yeah.
And on that note, I think we should leave.
Yes. Yeah.
Should we go and not drink any of the things?
No. Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on.
I'll wipe the seat before I leave.
Thanks, be appreciated.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed that and you want to hear more, then help us out and comment, rate, subscribe on iTunes and just let us know what you thought.
And please, if you did like it, please help us out by commenting, rating
or subscribing.
You can also listen via the Acast website or on the app, and you can find us at Podcast Goals on social media. So we're on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook.
All of the socials.
All of them. Well, not all of them.
Most of them.
Three of them.
But if you are on barely any of these social channels, then
that's our way.
So drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you guys. And we're looking forward to seeing you next week.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Baby, come back.
I'm going to keep that in.
Should I do that again? I'll do that again.